You would look with me in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians to chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, and in chapter 4, I'd like for us to read verses 1 through verse 7. In 2 Corinthians and in chapter 4, I begin in verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Our message this evening will come from verse 6. But before we look at verse 6, I want us to notice what is stated in verses 3 and 4. There the apostle did write, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. This word hid literally means veiled. Veiled to the extent that it cannot be seen clearly, neither can it be understood. Every unbeliever is in a state of darkness, spiritual darkness, or blinded. Reading verses 3 and 4 together, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. These two verses are enough to destroy the majority of Arminian teaching of free will salvation, that all is required is for an individual just to make a decision one day that they would like to be saved. The Bible tells us here that the gospel is hid to them that are lost. It's hid to them. It is veiled to them. The God of this world, in verse 4, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. And Satan is this God that is mentioned in verse 4, the God of this world. The unsaved, the unregenerate, can neither know nor understand the things of God. It takes a special work of God to enable anyone to understand the things of God. I'm going to read in 1 Corinthians and in chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians and in chapter 2, I want us to just read beginning in verse 1, and we'll read through verse 14 of 1 Corinthians and in chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Now, I could spend a lot of time in verse 1, but I'm not. But this is the trend today in many churches. The emphasis is on excellency of speech and wisdom, and it's not the wisdom of God, it is man's wisdom. It is the speech that many of them did learn in their schooling, but it's not consistent with the Word of God. Paul said, "When I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Have you ever just stopped and considered that? This wisdom of God in verse 7, Paul said, none of the princes of this world knew, not secular princes nor religious princes. They did not know. They did not know. And the scripture tells us, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Notice the great sovereignty of God, how He used the unbelief, the hidden gospel in carrying out His ordained plan of our redemption through the crucifixion of Christ. If they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And I'll just interject here, the Spirit is the only one able to search these deep things of God and relate them unto us. And He does that by the illumination of the Word of God. But what we have to say this evening, do not omit the Spirit of God, the importance of the Spirit of God. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. We can understand that, but by the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, I stop the reading here to emphasize in verse 14, the natural man. The natural man, the unregenerate, the unsaved, the unbeliever, does not and cannot know or understand the things of the Spirit of God. It is stated here as an absolute impossibility. It says, neither can he know them. Neither can he know them. And the reason that the natural man cannot know them is stated here in the verse. Because they are spiritually discerned. Those without the Spirit cannot know them, neither understand them. Now, notice verse 9 and verse 10, if you would. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. In verse 12, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. The next words are very important, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, you'll notice in verse 14, we have the natural man. In verse 15, we have he that is spiritual. And there is a vast difference in these two individuals. A vast difference. The difference between death and life. The natural man and he that is spiritual. I go back to 2 Corinthians and in chapter 4. And I read again verse 3. If our gospel be hid or veiled, concealed, it is hid to them that are lost. These are the natural men, those that are void of the Spirit of God. To them the gospel is hid. In verse 4, whether I could fully explain it or not, yet the Word of God states it. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. The God of this world hath blinded their minds. And this is why the natural man cannot know the things of the Spirit of God. They are in spiritual darkness and blindness. Notice the blindness in verse 4. This is a real blindness. It is a spiritual blindness, but nonetheless, it is real. They cannot see. They cannot see. That is the reason we read in 1 Corinthians 2 that they cannot know, they cannot see, they cannot understand and perceive. And keep in mind that what we read here in verse 3 and in verse 4 was our condition, our state by nature. In verse 4, we were lost. We were lost. Our minds were blinded. We were in darkness. We were in a spiritual darkness, and we could not see nor understand the things of God. In verse 4, notice what is stated here. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Then it says, unless. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, get the picture of individuals being blinded in this spiritual darkness. And what is stated here in verse 4 is what happens in time to God's elect. We were in a spiritual darkness. We were in spiritual blindness. But one day there was a light. There was a light. Notice what is stated here in verse 4. And the wording in our English Bible is a little bit different from the way the words would be in order in the original language, as it speaks about the light in verse 4. It can be rightly, and it should be rightly understood as the light or the illumination of the glad tidings or the gospel of the glory of Christ. The glory in verse 4 is Christ. And this light here is the light, or it is an illumination of the gospel of the glory of Christ. That's the way it is originally worded and ought to be understood. Look at another case of that, if you would, in 1 Timothy and in chapter 1. In 1 Timothy and in chapter 1, in verse 11, where it reads, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God. It needs to be understood, the gospel of the glory of the blessed God. The gospel reveals the righteousness of God, the glory of God. In our text, in 2 Corinthians, the word light is mentioned once in verse 4, and it's mentioned three times in verse 6. This light, illumination, is important. In verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul in verse 6 uses a comparison between the light in the original creation and the light in the new creation. The light in the original creations recorded in Genesis chapter 1 and in verse 3, when the earth was in chaos and in complete darkness, and God said, let there be light. Paul said here, God who commanded the light, and he did command the light. And even so in our case, in the case of everyone, there is a spiritual darkness in us before there is the light or the divine illumination mentioned in verse 6. Important to note in verse 6, it's the same God who commanded the light in Genesis 1:3, who commanded the light to shine in our hearts. The same God. And it was required to be the same God. No one else could do this. God commanded the light then, and he still commands the light now. Now, notice in verse 6 about the light. Now, as I read this and I was studying this, I could not help but think of that song, I Saw the Light. And so it is in our regeneration, in our salvation. We see a light. It's not a physical light, it's a spiritual light. But so it is. But notice the light that God commands in verse 6, it shines in our heart. It does not say it shines in our mind. This light shines into our heart. Once the light shines into our heart, then will come discernment and understanding in our minds. But the heart must be affected. The heart must be changed. But the understanding in the mind will come after the illumination of the heart. Look with me in Matthew chapter 4, if you would. in Matthew and in chapter 4, I believe these words recorded in Matthew chapter 4 and in verse 16 could apply unto us who have received the Spirit of God. Matthew 4 and in verse 16 says, "The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the regions and shadows of death, light is sprung up." Now, I know the context here is speaking about the coming of Christ and what's going to happen there, but there is an application here to the moment of regeneration when there is illumination in the heart of God's people. Again, in our text in 2 Corinthians 4, 6, why is this light shining in our hearts? Why did God command the light to shine in our hearts? Notice the wording of verse 6. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts." But why? Why? "To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face or the person of Jesus Christ." That's why God shined this light in our hearts. In the book of John and in chapter 12, John 12 and in verse 46, notice the words of Jesus himself. In John 12 and in verse 46, Jesus said, "I am come a light into the world." And then you have that little word "that" once again. "That whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." He is the light. He is the light. In our text in 2 Corinthians 4, in verse 6, the God of this world, Satan, blinds the minds of unbelievers. In verse 6, God shines a light, illuminates the hearts of his elect, those who will believe. The light that's mentioned in verse 6, it cannot be denied, I do not think. It has a reference to the gospel. As a reference to the gospel. It's the same light in verse 4 as the light in verse 6. It would be an error to say one's one light and one's another light. In verse 4, it says, "Lest the light of the glorious gospel," or the light of the glad tidings of the glory of Christ. But it's the one and same light in verse 4 and in verse 6. And I mentioned earlier concerning this, when we speak about the gospel here, the light of the gospel in verse 4, the light in verse 6, we do not discount the working of the Holy Spirit of God. For without the Spirit working, none of us would be alive spiritually. None of us would be able to discern the things of God. But for those who are indwelt by the Spirit of God, from the moment of regeneration, there is an illumination of the gospel and in the gospel. When the Holy Spirit quickens and gives light, understanding of the mind comes and we're able to grasp the things of God. Considering the light, look with me to the book of Acts and in chapter 9. In Acts and in chapter 9, as Paul recounts his experience on the Damascus Road, notice in verse 3 of Acts 9, it says, "As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven." Now, not all will experience this great light that Paul experienced on the Damascus Road. But all who are indwelt by the Spirit of God will experience as great a light shining in their hearts. For it is a light from heaven. A light from heaven. And the purpose of it, again, back in our text, in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 4, is the light of the glorious gospel, of the gospel of the glory of Christ. And then in verse 6, the purpose of the light is to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Now that's God's purpose. And his purpose will always be accomplished. It will always be accomplished. Go with me to the book of Matthew, if you would. And we consider the light. I find a parallel from what I read in Matthew and in chapter 2 with this light in our text, the gospel, that reveals the person of Jesus Christ, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I want to read to you Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through verse 11. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming unto the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, before I draw a comparison or a parallel between this and our text, let me mention something about the wise men here. I'll mention, first of all, we're not told that they were kings. Where that came from, I don't know, but we're not told in the scripture that they were kings, and we're not told how many there were. People sing about three kings, and they don't find that in the scripture at all. The word wise men here, we get the word magician from that. It's magi, M-A-G-I, and we get the word magician from the same word. Most Bible scholars believe they were astrologers. There's no indication in the account in the scripture that these were godly men in any way at all before that star appeared unto them. Before the light. These men, we're told, came from the east. The words there literally mean from the rising of the sun. What part of the east it was, we are not told. It could have been Persia or Arabia, but it was a distance away. It would have been hundreds of miles, if not a thousand miles away, that they would have traveled to come to Bethlehem. Now, again, the reading here is important. There are songs that have the words in them, Star of Bethlehem. And I understand what people say there, but I want you to know it's not the Star of Bethlehem. It's Jesus' star. It's Jesus' star. When these wise men came, notice in verse 2, they said, we have seen his star. We've seen his star. They have had some illumination here in their hearts and mind, and they knew that this was the star of the Messiah, the promised one. And this star was placed in the heavens to do what? To lead these men to Jesus Christ, was it not? The purpose that God put this particular and unique star in the heavens was to lead these men unto Christ. Notice in this reading in Matthew 2, in verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. I said this was a unique star. You'll never see another star, I don't think, like this star that will lead men to a particular house in a particular town. This star is a unique star. The star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, you'll notice that these men did not come to a babe in a manger. That's what the shepherds did. They came to a babe in a manger. The light that guided these men from the east, they came to a house in verse 11. They came to a young child in a house. I said they came from a long distance away. Think of the preparation and the time of preparation, and think of the time of the journey to get hundreds and maybe a thousand miles. The babe was not in a manger. He had had time to grow. Here we have a child in a house. A child in a house. And these men from the east, seeing this star, it was as if they must go to Jesus. I mean, this is a great effort and a great undertaking. But when they saw the light of the star, and they understood that it was his star, the one that was prophesied to be the king of the Jews, they made a determination to go to Jesus. I see a parallel here in the light of the gospel, bringing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 11, when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped Him. The star, this light that they saw in the east, led them to Jesus for the purpose of worshiping Him. Those words are important in verse 11. It was the light that brought them to worship Him. You'll notice in verse 11, when they were come into the house, they saw the young child, and they also saw Mary, his mother. But they did not fall down and worship Mary. They fell down and worshiped Him. I'm sure there are many in religion today that would like this to say that they worship Mary or that they worship Mary and Jesus. But this light, and I'll say also the light of the gospel, leads no one to reverence or worship Mary, Jesus only. Jesus only. The scripture says they fell down and worshiped Him. Now consider, Herod knew about the birth of Jesus. The chief priest and the scribes in verse 4, they knew of the birth of Jesus, but none of these came to worship Him. Why? The star didn't appear unto them. The light did not shine unto them. The gospel is hid to them that are lost. It was only those that received the light that did come to worship Jesus. They came to see Him. And as surely as this star led these men to Jesus. Back in our text in 2 Corinthians and in chapter 4 and in verse 4, this light that is mentioned in verse 4, the light of the glory of the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. This light in verse 6 that God commanded to shine in our hearts leads us to Jesus. Again, not discounting the working of the Spirit of God, because without the Spirit of God, the preaching of the gospel, the words of the gospel are just words to individuals. If the gospel does not come in spirit and in power. But I love the words here in verse 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Just think of what that might have been. Our minds cannot conceive the world being in darkness, the earth being in darkness. Never had been any light up on it, and all of a sudden God commands the light, and the earth is illuminated. Even before He put the sun and the moon in the heavens, the earth was illuminated by the Word of God. And it says in verse 6, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. The next statement is as great a work of God as that light in Genesis 1:3 has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Until and unless this happens, God shining this light in our hearts, people will remain in verse 3 and in verse 4 in a lost condition, spiritually blinded. God must send the light.